It's going.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. Let's get underway. The time is late. Let's jump right into it. The story is told of the Rebbe of Zusha, the brother of Rebbe Elimelech Lubezhensk, who went to visit his Rebbe, the Magid of Mezrich, every summer and winter. But one winter he arrived in Mezrich at the house of the Magid, only to be told by his Rebbe, the Magid of Mezrich, you have to go home immediately. Go back home. I don't need to see you here today. This is not the time. You have to go back to where you came from. So the Rebbe of Zusha said to the Magid of Mezrich, but what do you mean? I came here to come imbibe of your Torah, to learn from you, to be inspired. Give me something to take with me. What do you mean, go back home? Whatever it was, the Magid knew in the Olam HaSalyonim, the upper worlds, that right here in Mezrich was not the place for the Rebbe of Zusha. He has to go back to his community. So he said, all right, pay attention to what I'm going to tell you, the Rebbe of Zusha. I'm going to give you 10 pieces of information, 10 things. And through these 10 things, you will be able to take all the inspiration you need, all of the things you need to know to be matzliach, to be successful, through these 10 things. This morning, in the few minutes we have together, I'm only going to focus on 3 of those 10 things. But let me tell you what he told him. He said, you can learn 7 things from a thief and 3 things from a baby, from a child. A thief works at night. He doesn't obtain what he wants. In one night, he tries again. Thieves like one another, and they sacrifice for one another. A thief will sacrifice himself even for something insignificant. A thief steals what's for half price, so he shouldn't know what he has. He never admits that he steals. If he's tortured, he only has one answer, I don't know. And he's proud of his work, and he wouldn't exchange it for anything. So that's for the thief. That, perhaps, that's another shear for another time. The 7 things we can learn from a thief. That's not for today. Today, we want to focus on the 3 things from a baby. The first, said the Magid of Mezrich, is that a baby is always happy. A baby is never depressed. Babies, children, are always happy. They're never sad. They're always besimcha. The second thing he told the Rebbe of Zusha is that a baby, a child, is never idle, even for a moment. Babies are on the run. They go. They want to see. They want to explore. They're in the cabinets. They're in the outlets. They're not supposed to be in the outlets. They're, you know, turning on the water. They're drinking out of the toilet. They're everywhere. They're doing all the places they're not supposed to be. Babies are everywhere. They're never idle. They're always moving around. And the third thing, says the Magid of Mezrich to his Talmud, the Rebbe of Zusha, is that a baby, when he needs something, he cries for it. He doesn't simply stay there and, you know, ask politely. He doesn't say, you know, if you have a chance, could you please give this to me? When the baby wants something, when a child wants something, he cries to his father and he demands it. And he says, Abba, I need it now, with tears streaming down his face. And this, said the Magid of Mezrich to the Rebbe of Zusha, these are the 3 lessons from a baby that you can take with you, and that will give you the inspiration, what you need to know for the coming season. So what we're going to do is we're going to analyze these 3 things, and then I'm going to add 2 things to the list of my own that I think we can learn from children. Let's go to the first thing. The baby is always happy. The baby is never depressed. The Tzemach Tzedek, the 3rd Rebbe of Chabad, writes in his Or Torah and Parshas Emor on page Tuf Nun Vav. That's 856. The Tzemach Tzedek wrote huge amounts of Divrei Torah. Baruch Hashem and Chabad, they record every single thing that ever goes on. So we have every single Mari Makom. Listen to a beautiful insight that I saw from the Tzemach Tzedek. And he explained that children don't keep grudges. He says, Anu ro'im sha'tinokos yichasu ze'al ze' u'miyad karega yashlimu. Children will get upset, they'll yell and they'll scream, and just like that, 2 minutes later, they're fine, right? The child will tell you, you are the worst mommy, the worst daddy, I hate you, I don't want to see you ever again. You take the kid out for a toy and ice cream, and he loves you, you're the best in the world. Children don't hold grudges. They are besimcha, they move away from a grudge, they move away from being anger as soon as possible. But he says, what's wrong with adults? Says the Tzemach Tzedek. If an adult gets in a fight with another person, it is so difficult to get an adult, to get a grown person out of a grudge. Somebody to invite you to their great-grandson's bar mitzvah, I won't speak to that person ever again. An anti-Semite, a Russia, I can't believe them, a chutzpah, I'm never going to speak to them. They come to me in the grocery store, I turn around. What is it with adults that we can hold grudges for these silliest things? forever and ever and ever. What is this? Says the Tzemach Tzedek. Lefi shatinokos ein hanefesh hasichlis shubachinas ha'adam miskala behem adayin kolkach. He's explaining Al Pi Kabbalah, but essentially, he says for a child, they have no sense of yeshus. They have no sense of ego, of what's in it for them. A child, for the most important thing, is to be besimcha. Adults are mature, children are immature, because children choose to be happy, and adults choose to be correct. It's more important to me to be right, to have my sense of ego, the sense of who I am. I can't believe what he did to me, and I have all the excuses in the world why I'm right and he's wrong. And I have all the reasons to say why this person is a Russia and a lo yitzlach and a goodnik, and I hope he never sees any single sunshine in his life. So in his life. Why? Because I have a sense of ego. It's more important for me to correct. And even if we know that at the end of the day we are correct, and we know that we are in the right, we refuse to back down for the sense of being happy. I will not talk to my sister for 20 years because I know that I was right, that I was correct, you know, that daddy gave me the car and she didn't give it to you. And therefore, I'm not going to talk for 20 years. And maybe it's correct. Maybe I was right in being upset. And maybe I was in the right to say that this person did a wrong to me. But who cares? So you're going to be miserable. You're going to be atzuv. You're going to be sad. You're going to be depressed forever just so you can be correct instead of being happy. That, says the Tzemach Tzedek, is the key difference between adults and children. We are more concerned about being right and in the right than we are about being happy. If we learn from children to be happy all the time and to not be sad and not to be so consumed with our yeshus, our ego, we would be much better off. We go on vacations, right? And the vacation, it rains, and the hotel wasn't good enough, and the sheets weren't pressed properly, and I had complaints about the food. Do you know what? You went on a vacation. You had time away to go on a trip. You had time with your family. We only look at the negative because we want to be right. The hotel wronged me this way, and the tour guide didn't do this. But what about the time out with your kids? And what about the time out with the family? And what about, you know, this day had a great experience over here? We need to be right instead of being happy in different cases. When it rains, adults stay inside. They don't want to be sad. They don't want to get wet. Children, when it rains, they jump in the puddles. They want to put on their raincoat. They don't want to put on their raincoat. They want to run outside. The most important thing to them is to be besimcha and not about what is totally to be proper. Just look at a child. Children don't need to learn strategies for positive living. You ever take a four-year-old to a seminar on how to be happy and live your best life? That's ridiculous because a four-year-old is naturally happy. What do we tell children? If you have a kid who's running around the house and he is smiling and he's dancing and he's singing a song and he gives you a big hug, do you ever turn to your son or your grandson and say, is everything okay? You look very happy today. No. When you see a kid and he's utsub and he's sad, what do you say? Is everything okay? Is everything all right? When a kid is crying, that means something is wrong. Because children teach us that the right thing to do, naturally, we should be happy. When we have somebody walk into the office or walk into the house in the morning and they are whistling and there is there are light in their step and they're having a great day, what do we always say? Oh, what's going on with him? What's he so happy about? That's ridiculous. That's the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be besimcha all the time. And when it comes to children, we see that's the way it's supposed to be. When we see an adult who's sad, we should say, that's wrong. We have to help that person turn around and try to see the positive. Not to be so self-conscious, to be free and happy, not to be aware of ourselves, our yeshus, to not have worries and concerns, unfulfilled desires, unrealized dreams, to focus on the positive and the good. That is lesson number one, to learn from a child. Number two, to never be idle, to never stay in one place, and to never be satisfied with where a person is, always to want more, always to strive for other things. The Pasuk in Tehillim says, and if a person says Tachnun every day, I know the meaning by women is not to say Tachnun, but for those of us who say Tachnun, the Pasuk says, Yagati banchasi escha b'cholayla mitasi b'dimasi arsi amsa. David HaMelech says, I'm wearied with my sigh. Every night my bed is drenched with tears. I soak my couch because I'm so sad. What's going on over here? David HaMelech has a sense of pachet. He's afraid of something he's talking about in Tehillim. He's afraid of something's going to happen to him. So asks Rav Shimshon Pinkus, What is David afraid of? This is David HaMelech, Gibor Chayil, army general of legions of thousands. He saw death in the face. He fought animals and he fought Goliath. He was a strong person. What could David possibly have been afraid of in death? David wasn't afraid of death. He looked at death in the face and he laughed and he succeeded again and again and again. What could have been so scary for David HaMelech? Says Rav Pinkus, the pachad, the fear that David HaMelech had was not about dying itself, but rather it was his love for life. David cherished every moment he had on this earth. Every opportunity that David had, he wanted to make a moment that would be impactful and meaningful. As we say, carpe diem, he seized the day. David got up in the morning and said, what can I do for a Kadosh Baruch Hu today? There are a few hours left in the day. What can I accomplish? What can I run after? What can I do? Every single ounce of energy can I soak out of this world? What can I get here? Every moment was meaningful and cherished. This is a midah we have by kids. If you have young kids, you know this. The kid gets up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and he wants to know, where are we going today? What are we going to do? I need to get dressed. Breakfast is already on the table. What's the plan? Oh, we finished lunch? What's the next activity? Well, I need 3 more play dates, and we're going to go in the afternoon. And what? The summer's the worst, because what's going to be night activity? Like you're running a camp in your home. So kids, they always want to know, they want to go, they want to do. This has an acronym in our day and age. It is called FOMO, fear of missing out. Children have constant FOMO. They are constantly wanting to know, what am I going to miss? I can't go to bed now because I know if I go to bed, the adults are going to stay up, they're going to have fun, they're going to talk about me, and I'm going to miss out on all these exciting things. I need to be involved, I want to do. This is the second me that we can learn from children. Your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, they want to go, they want to do, they want to see. They don't want to stay home and lounge and take a nap. They're excited. They're dynamic. And this is a midah we can take upon ourselves, because every single moment, a kid knows, every single moment is a gift, a matana from Hashem to take advantage of, to soak in that energy and to use it to the best of our abilities. Rav Leib Chassman, who is the Mashgiach in Chevron, asks a penetrating question on a well-known pasuk in Sefer Yonah. The pasuk in Yonah says that after the events of the Goral, they decide that the whole problem on the boat and the storm is because of Yonah, and they decide, okay, we got to get rid of Yonah. Yonah offers himself up, they're going to throw him off the boat. So when Yonah gives the instructions to the sailor of what to do, he tells them, lift me up and throw me off the boat. That seems to be extra. Yonah could have just told them, take me and shove me into the sea. Why does Yonah say, lift me up first and then throw me into the sea? I'm sure they can figure out how to throw somebody into the sea. They don't need directions, step one, step two, how to throw somebody into the ocean. So says Rav Leib Chassman, do you know why? Because Yonah HaNavi cherished every moment of life. And he knew that this is what had to be done. He knew he had to be brought as a sacrifice for the events. He knew that he did the wrong thing. But if he could squeeze 3 more seconds out of this world, 3 more seconds to do and to accomplish and to do something of meaning, so he told them, first lift me up. Don't just shove me off the boat. Lift me up in the air, because that will buy me time. That will allow me a few more minutes here to get in and to be involved, to do something that I can bring with me into the next world. This is the message here, to value every moment. That children are always moving, always want to stay up, they want to accomplish, they have FOMO, because they value every moment. They don't want to take a nap in the afternoon, and they don't want to go to bed early, and they don't want to take it easy. They want to go up, and they want to do, and they want to accomplish whenever they can. Lesson number three is that a baby cries when he needs something. In 1972, this is before my time, so the Democratic frontrunner for President of the United States was a man named Ed Muskie. And Ed Muskie held a press conference one day outside the Manchester Union Leader, which is the major newspaper in New England, and he had a press conference. And the purpose of the press conference was that this influential newspaper falsely smeared Ed Muskie and his wife for being prejudiced against French Canadians. He used a not nice word to describe the French Canadians, and they called his wife a foul-mouthed drunk, and they really raked this guy over the coals for what he had said in the past, or what he perhaps had said. And this guy was the Democratic frontrunner to be the President of the United States, and he's standing outside this newspaper with this conference, and he is crying while he is talking about how hurt he was and the damages to his family. When the newspapers reported that Ed Muskie cried in his statements, they raked him over the coals for being a sissy and a wuss and for, you know, not being having the caliber to be president of the United States. And that was the end of Ed Muskie's presidential career and run. That was it. He was crying. This guy's going to be president of the United States. He cries? Can't have a crier as president. It can't be. Now, Ed Muskie defended himself. He said he wasn't crying. It was snowing outside, and the snowflakes were on his cheeks, and it looks like he was crying. Whatever it was. But we see here that in the United States of America, certainly in 1972, a sign of masculinity, a sign of being a leader, was that leaders don't cry. Crying is not something that is valued in our leadership or who we look to. And this is not a Torah value. In a Torah home, in a Torah environment, we value sincerity. We value a lev nishbar, a person who shows their emotions in a healthy but a, you know, valued way that can make an impact on those around him. As the Gemara in Bracha says, Sharei Demos Lo Ninalu, the gates of tears are never locked. With the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, all different types of avenues and gates to get to Hashem are slammed in front of us. We don't have the connection we had in the previous generations. But, says the Gemara, the one gate that is always open is the gate of tears. A person who cries and expresses himself to Avinu Shev HaShemayim for what he wants from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, what he needs in his life, those gates are always open. Rabbi Kiva Yosef Schlesinger was in the great Rabbanim of Hungary, later of Yerushalayim. So in his Torah Sechil and Parshas Achrei Mos, he tells the story of a Talmud Chacham who was speaking with a Christian priest, and the priest asked the Talmud Chacham why the Jewish prayers are loud and why the shuls are so energetic, while in the Christian churches it's very quiet and demure and everything, it doesn't seem to be so exciting. So the Talmud Chacham told this Christian that the Goyim, they believe their God is dead, that their God died. And therefore, their tefillah reflects the sentiments. Their God is dead, so you are very quiet, you don't want to wake anybody up. But we understand that our God is Chai V'Kaya Melech HaOlam. He's living and He's there, and therefore our tefillos, the way we connect with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, is not quietly, and it's not, you know, cold and dark, but rather we daven with a hergish, a feeling, a sign of our emotions to connect to Hashem. We have a chias, a life, and a feeling. The Mari Mintz understands, the Pasuk says, by keeping mitzvos, v'chai bahem, and you should live with them. Not only we should live with the mitzvos, but that our mitzvos should be chias, v'chai bahem. When you do mitzvos, you should be l'chaim, with life, with feeling, with emotion, with inspiration when you serve Hashem. And this, he says, is why the pasuk concludes, v'chai bahem, ani Hashem. Live with these mitzvos. Have chias in your mitzvos because I'm Hashem. I'm loving, I'm caring, I want to hear what you have to say. I want to see those emotions, those tears, those things that come from the heart in a sincere and meaningful way. Rav Pinkus, in his Sefer Sha'arim B'Tefillah, so he notes that one of the tefillos that we have is called a na'aka, a cry. And he goes on to reflect on the idea of a na'aka, a type of crying, a type of sincere tefillah. And he says that this is a moan and a sigh that a person screams out when he's in a very distressed situation. A na'aka is a natural reaction and basically just the groaning caused by a pain. But you take that pain, you take those tears, and you direct them to Hashem in a sincere way. And he tells a beautiful story. He says, when Rav Baruch Ber Leibowitz, the Rosh Yeshiva of Kamenitz, was a young boy, and he was a child, his father hit him for some childish act that he did. And while he was crying in front of his father, he got up, he walked to the Sfarim shelf, he took out a sitter, and began to daven mincha. So his father asked him, he says, what are you doing? Why are you daven mincha now? I just give you a patch. So the young Rav Baruch Ber said, I'm crying anyways, so I'll utilize that crying for tefillah. If I have tears, if I have sincere tears, let me take that emotion and direct it in a way to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because I know that those gates are always open. To take those tears, to take that emotion, not to be embarrassed by them, to use them in our service of connecting to Hashem, to use our emotions in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a baby needs something, he asks his father, and he says, now, and they cry, and he lets out his feelings to let them be known. And this is the third thing offered by the Magen of Mezrich, that a person should use his tears, his tios, his hergush, his emotions in serving the Kaddish Baruch Hu in a sincere way. Let's add now onto our list 4 and 5. 4 and 5 things that we can also learn from children, adding on to what the Magen of Mezrich said. The fourth thing I'd like to add is that children ask questions. Children are always asking questions and wanting to know and wanting to understand. Rav Hirsch, in his collected writings, writes as follows. Listen to this beautiful insight. He says, a child already asks at an early age. Human mind demands clear perception, understanding of all that is evident in the human world. The query, what is this, is already formulated in the back of a child's mind. You may read it in the child's eyes at the time when his lips are not yet able to express as sounds. The very nature of the soul of a healthy child is asking questions. Only because of this incessant inquiry is the soul of the very young child able to absorb such an infinite amount of knowledge. How do children become such sponges to absorb things? Because their mind demands it. Their mind is seeking more information. When the child begins to talk and he asks and he never tires of inquiring, what is this? Do not seek refuge in evasion or rejection. Your kid asks 100 questions a day. Don't run away from them. Accept this thirst for knowledge as the pure symptom of health of a child's soul and strive towards satisfying his spiritual hunger as you are always ready to satisfy his physical needs. Just like you give your child milk to drink and food to eat, so too you give him answers to questions and you give him the right direction to give him answers to those questions that he wants to know. And the same goes for adults as well. I was given a wonderful book a number of years ago by a man named Warren Berger, and the book is called A More Beautiful Question. It's all about the idea and the importance of asking questions and not simply giving up. His argument is, listen to these statistics. When we are 4 years old, we ask around 300 questions a day. A four-year-old asks 300 questions a day. In the course of a child's life, from the age of 2 to 5, they can ask 40,000 questions in those 3 to 4 years. Children are built to ask questions. But what happens? We do this ourselves, unfortunately. The child gets older and he starts asking questions, and we say, I'm tired, I don't want to talk about it. And we say, I don't know, that's a silly question. And we put down the questions, and we put down the questions, until the child is old enough to realize that they don't want to hear my questions. They're not interested in my questions. Questions don't get me anywhere. And I stop, and he stops asking questions. And that's where the creativity turns off in the young person. And it's not worth the mental effort. I'm so tired of asking all these questions and adults putting me down and not taking my questions seriously. Better I should just turn it off, not deal with it, and throw away the key. And that is a terrible, terrible thing for a child, a young person, to stop asking questions. So many amazing inventions that we have came from asking questions, the microwave and the Olympics and the Polaroid camera and whiteout. All these fascinating things came about because someone wanted to know, well, why does this work, or why can I do it better, and how come this is the only way it's done? That's how amazing things happen in the world, because people ask questions. We ask questions all the time. In Chazal, the Tana de Bel-Yo famously says, "Kol Adam Chayv Lomer." Every person should ask himself, "Mata Yagiu Masei LaMasei Avram Yitzchak VeYaakov?" When will my actions reach the level of Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov? A person should always be asking himself, "How can I improve? How can I be better?" We know the famous Gemara in Shabbos tells us that before we go to the Beis in Shomala, when our neshama goes before our Kadosh Baruch Hu at the end of the day, Hashem is going to ask us a series of questions: Did you learn Torah? Were you honest in business? All these important things. Hashem's always asking questions of us. We know the answers to the tests. So now we have to work on the answers ourselves and the questions ourselves to know what to do when we go before a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Asking questions of ourselves, the Cheshbon HaNefesh, asking in general is a healthy midah that we can ask of children, we can learn from children and take on for ourselves. Rabbi Sachs, we're running late, so I want to get to the last points. But you look in Rabbi Sachs's Haggadah, he has a long piece about asking questions as well. But even for us, often we find ourselves in the back of our mind saying, you know, what's the reason for that minhag? Why do I do this? And what do we say? We'll just shove it back down. I don't know. It's not worth the effort or the time. I don't want to investigate it. The rabbi is too busy to hear my question anyway, probably. So let me just put it away. And that minhag, we don't understand. So we go through life doing the same thing again and again, not having appreciation of why we're doing it. Why does Hashem want us to do A, B, and C? Or how come, you know, why is it fair that the punishment for this is that? And how come all these different things are going on? And I want answers, but because we have trained ourselves, unfortunately, to be the opposite of children, we shut down those questions and we say, whatever, it's probably a silly question, which is the worst thing a person can say. It's probably a question that's too complicated for me, or it's probably a question that's not worth my time. And therefore, we just resort back to the situation where we don't ask. We don't take on the mitzvah of children asking questions. And therefore, we need to train ourselves, whether it means, you know, putting something on your phone to write down your questions, old-fashioned, a piece of paper and a pen, maybe a pencil, and write down questions that come up throughout the day and foster that feeling, that sense of knowledge, wanting to know, wanting to learn, and save them up. And you have a chance. You can sit down by the computer and take your chance with Google and see what comes up. I don't always recommend that, but you can see what Google has to say about your questions. Or you can turn to somebody who's more knowledgeable and pursue your questions. Investigate, learn, bring out that midah of the child inside of you, wanting to know, wanting to understand, wanting to grow more. The fifth thing I just want to end with, and that is that children fall down and get up. We've all seen young children before. They walk and they fall. They walk and they fall. And even if they know how to walk, they ride their bike, they fall down, they get back on the bicycle. They're running, they trip, they brush themselves off, they get up, and they keep on going. What's the worst thing you can do, right, when the child falls, is to say, oh no, you fell. And what happens? He starts crying. If you don't say anything to the child who fell, he'll brush himself off and keep on going. But when you indicate that the falling was something that was negative, he'll perceive that as something that was negative, and he'll cry when he falls down. But if you show him that falling is positive, it's part of growing and part of accomplishing and becoming better, so that falling becomes something that is a growth experience. The pasuk in Mishlei says, "Ki sheva yipol tzaddik v'kam," that the tzaddik falls seven times. So the classic explanation is that the person who's a tzaddik knows how to dust himself off and get up. Because he's a tzaddik, he's able to overcome and persevere and grow and accomplish. So the Vilna Gaon disagrees, as does Rav Huttner in a famous letter in the Igros of the Pachet Yitzchak in Igeres Kuf Chav Ches 128. Rav Huttner and the Gra both explain that it doesn't mean that the tzaddik is the one who falls. What it means is that if a person wants to become a tzaddik, it only happens if you fall down seven times. You only can reach greatness if you try and you mess up. If you try and you mess up over and over and over again, that's how you reach greatness. Not by assuming everything is going to be a clear coast and you're going to sail through and there's going to be no impediments in what you want to accomplish in life. We see from children grow from falling down and getting up. They become better when they fall down and they get up, and that turns them into great people as well. In that letter from Rav Huttner, he's actually responding to a young man who is upset that he reads, you know, Gedolim biographies and everything is perfect and everything is wonderful and there's no struggles, and this one knew Shas when he was seven, and then he got married when he was 18, and then he learned Torah the rest of his life and everything was beautiful and wonderful. So Rav Huttner says, it's not true. These great tzaddikim, these great gedolim, these great Torah personalities, they became who they were because they fell and they struggled and they had to develop and work and they got pushed back and they stepped back 2 feet and went back another and a third and went forward. That's how you become great, by falling down seven times and then growing again. So in summary, let's bring it all together now. As adults or parents, we often think that we know better than children. We see further than little kids. We have a better understanding of the world. But there is something to be said for being 3 feet tall and seeing the world in a different perspective. There's something to be said from seeing things from a kid's perspective, as the Gemara in Taina says, Dama Rabbi Chanina, Harbe lamadati merabosai, I learned a lot from my Rebbeim, Umechavarai, and my friends, Yosei Merabosai. I learned more from my friends than I learned from my teacher, Umitalmidai, Yoser Mikulam. But from my students, I learn more than anything else in the world. And I think for our students, it also applies to our children and the young people around us. We can learn so much from seeing how a child conducts himself, how they comport themselves over the course of the day, how they react to things, whether it comes through always being happy, as we said. As we learned from the Tzemach Tzedek, the importance of being happy and not being right. Two, never being idle and having a fear of missing out, an issue of FOMO. Three, crying when you need something. Showing emotion is never a bad thing. Four, always asking questions, never pushing a question to the back of your mind and not taking it seriously. And finally, five, falling down and getting up again and growing from the challenges, just like children fall down and they get up throughout the course of their day. Thank you very much and have a wonderful day.
Thank you very much.
Was I ringing?